Welcome back, 417, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It is indeed Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by the one and only Emily Miller, Washington Times Senior Editor of the Opinion Pages. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I understand maybe a little problem with the phone. Can you hear me okay?
Here, now it's great.
Okay, yeah. Good. Good, good.
Good.
All right, let's get right into Paul Ryan, if we could. You surprised by the pick?
I was. You know, we actually had a little pool going and then, with some Washington Times people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should name names. Maybe I should. On who the vice presidential pick would be. And we each had to vote who we thought it should be and who we thought it would be.
Uh-huh.
So I had for would be Portman, Rob Portman,
right.
Senator Portman from Ohio. And for should be, I had Paul Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost. Even though I have a should be, I lost. But the winner was Susan Crabtree. She got it right.
Oh, no kidding.
Paul Ryan.
She got it right. How about that?
Yeah.
Overall, are you happy about it or are you concerned about it? The reason I ask is that I'm one of these people, when I first heard it, I went, oh, we kind of need him on the Hill. Do I really want him in the vice president's office? But that was the only reason that I didn't see him as the best pick. That's all.
I absolutely couldn't have been happier. I mean, I just think he is a thrilling pick. I feel very energized by it, and I think, you know, that's a widespread feeling among conservatives. Paul Ryan is the one person in Washington that I think you would say represents what the Tea Party is about. Now, he's not a Tea Partier, and, you know, the Tea Party, people probably would embrace him as their own because he's, you know, supported some things like the debt ceiling and other things that had to move the process along. However, he is the only one in Washington who has put pen and paper as far as entitlement reform, which is the major crisis for our debt and deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who got bashed for it. I mean, the DCCC ran ads against him as well as 25 other Republicans in districts. And, you know, he really suffered for it, but he's just so persistent, and he's such a, you know, he communicates so well, and he comes across so nicely that he's done an amazing job of turning this around. I mean, did you remember 2 years ago, we have never had legislation to really reform Medicare and Social Security.
Yeah.
The last time it came up was President Bush tried to do private accounts for Social Security, which young people overwhelmingly want, old people overwhelmingly hate, and he just got ruined by public opinion just because of the way it was communicated. And so, you know, it's always been, like I wrote earlier this week, it's the third rail politics. But now, which is, I would say, 75% attributed to Paul Ryan, it's no longer the third rail politics. We have every major presidential candidate in the Republican Party and the president forced to talk about what they will do about entitlement spending. And that has completely changed, and that's because the crisis is real and now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's jumped right into the fire. No one wants to touch a topic like that in an election year, but I gotta give it to him. He can explain it so people can understand it. And the other thing is, I don't know if you heard, but the Romney campaign is already running an ad describing exactly what's going on with Medicare, and I think that's going to pay off in states like Florida, where you may have a high level of concern from senior citizens. You know, the fact is, if you're 65 and you're already getting your share of what you're supposed to be getting, nothing's going to change. And in fact, if you're 55 to 65, nothing is going to change. And I think that that's been one of the stumbling blocks. They haven't been able to get that message out to the public, and I think Paul Ryan can deliver that message very effectively.
You're right, and he's done that fantastically, and they really, Republicans deserve a lot of credit for communicating this message well. Even though they've been bashed for it, even though the Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid continually say the Republicans want to end Medicare as we know it, is what they say, the Republicans have not, have not pulled back. They've stuck with it, and Speaker Boehner as well. They've said, you're right, we do want to end Medicare as we know it, because Medicare as we know it is going to be bankrupt in 12 years. So if you want Medicare, you're not going to get the same amount of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It's also bankrupting the country, and we have a $16 trillion debt. But they've done a very good job of using correct language. Like you said, they now always say, if you're at or near retirement, if you're over 55, nothing will change. And that calms people down. They like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use the word vouchers anymore. They use premium support, which sort of, you know, sounds a little bit better and is less scary.
Yeah.
And then between 2010, 11 and 2012, when Paul was really getting bashed and other people were getting bashed in the districts, they, in the new budget this year, Paul Ryan put back in that people could stay in the current fee-for-service Medicare program. So it gave people that sort of feeling like they're not going to force me to change. Now, of course, anybody who thinks about it would much rather, I'd much rather have Blue Cross Blue Shield as my health care provider as a senior than I would the government of the United States, you know, as some bureaucrat. So, you know, it really is to everyone's benefit. But like you said, seniors flip out. They always do. And so this is a way to kind of soft pedal it so they can listen and hear how it'll affect their grandchildren and not just their own lives.
Yeah. I know one of the other things you wrote about this week is Paul Ryan being a Second Amendment guy. That had to thrill you.
I did. I think the lead in my editorial was gun owners have one of their own now on the ticket, you know. Because, I mean, you know, Romney's great, but he is not a gun owner, is not a hunter. And obviously Obama, you know, wants to ban all guns all over the world, and Biden as well. So, you know, Paul Ryan is the real deal. He is, he supported everything from the Reciprocity Act, the Carry Reciprocity Act, to eliminating the registration requirement in D.C. He's a hunter. He has at least one rifle and shotgun. I've been trying to get the campaign to tell me exactly the make and models of his guns. For some reason, they're keeping that as, like, the state secret. I just keep telling them, this is a, just let me, you gotta let me know. He's been, he was chairman of the Sportsman Caucus in the Capitol and, you know, in the Congress, and even his wife, Jana, when she was in D.C., she started, co-started with former Congressman Brewster's wife, the Women's Shooting Club, which is still in existence, and they go to Prince George's Trap and Skeet, which I know you used to do quite competitively, and they would take both experienced women and new women out and do trap, skeet, or clay, or sporting clays. So, you know, it's sort of part of their family, and Paul grew up shooting with his family and being an outdoors guy in Wisconsin. So it's somebody that for those of us who the Second Amendment is very important, we know that we would have somebody in the White House who, you know, really would fight for these issues.
And the NRA must love this guy.
They do. And, you know, Chris Cox, who's head of the NRA, ILA, you know, is a friend of his. And I think he won't admit it, but I think they've gone hunting together a few times. And, so Chris told us in the paper today that, you know, that NRA has given Paul Ryan an A, grade A, every time he's been in Congress, endorsed him every time. And so, yes, he's a good friend of the NRA.
All right.
And I'll say the National Shooting Sports Foundation as well adores him and put out a strong supporting statement.
That's great. That's great. All right, well, are you working on anything special or is it a secret?
No, it's not a secret. It'll come out tomorrow. I'm working on, I don't know if you know this, but their work in the city council, you know, which is the fun place to dig around in D.C., they're trying to put a tax on parks. So that people who go to, like, those very popular boot camps or yoga or even tennis camp, the people who teach them will have to be taxed at a percentage of their business for doing that, using the public space.
Huh.
So I'm calling it a tax on God.
Good, good. I look forward to it. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
See you
next
week.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Emily Miller, senior editor of the opinion pages here at the Washington Times. A tax on parks. Oh, that's been going on for years. Trust me. I am a parks. It is 4:26, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and it's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.